Thanks for downloading this message from Pastor Mike's podcast. May God bless you as you listen.
If you're ever arrested, and I hope you're not, they might take your fingerprints. It's part of the record of your transgression, the record of your wrong. And it's kept on file there. We want to talk about the record of our wrongs today, which that verse from Colossians reminds us about. Let's stand, let's sing together with the band. You may be seated as we listen to the reading for the day, which comes to us from Luke chapter 23 and reading verse 32 to 56.
Two other men, both of them criminals, were also led out to be put to death with Jesus. When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified Jesus there, and the two criminals, one on his right and the other on his left. Jesus said, "Forgive them, Father, they don't know what they are doing." They divided his clothes among themselves by throwing dice. The people stood there watching while the Jewish leaders jeered at him. "He saved others. Let him save himself if he is the Messiah whom God has chosen." So the soldiers mocked him. They came up to him and offered him cheap wine and said, "Save yourself if you are the King of Jews." Above him were written these words, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals hanging there hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us." The other one, however, rebuked him, saying, "Don't you fear God? You received the same sentence as he did. Ours, however, is only right, because we are getting what we deserve for what we did. But he has done no wrong." And he said to Jesus, "Remember me, Jesus, when you come as king." Jesus said to him, "I promise you that today you will be in paradise with me." It was about 12 o'clock when the sun stopped shining and darkness covered the whole country until 3 o'clock, and the curtain hanging in the temple was torn in two. Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Father, in your hands I place my spirit." He said this and died. The army officer saw what had happened, and he praised God, saying, "Certainly he was a good man." When the people who had gathered there to watch the spectacle saw what happened, they all went back home, beating their breasts in sorrow. All those who knew Jesus personally, including the woman who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance to watch. There was a man named Joseph from Arimathea, a town in Judea. He was a good and honorable man who was waiting for the coming of the kingdom of God. Although he was a member of the council, he had not agreed with their decision and action. He went into the presence of Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then he took the body down, wrapped it in a linen sheet, and placed it in a tomb which had been dug out of solid rock and which had never been used. It was Friday, and the Sabbath was about to begin. The woman who had followed Jesus from Galilee went with Joseph and saw the tomb and how Jesus' body was placed in it. Then they went back home and prepared the spices and perfumes for the body. On the Sabbath they rested as the law commanded.
Thanks, Michelle. Could I invite the children to please come down to the front for your chance to hear God's word this morning? Kids, all of you guys down in the corner, come on up. Thank you guys for coming forward. You can go back and sit with Mum and Dad now, please. So, Phil, I'm wondering if your wife's happy about you racing again, is that? Your prayer is much longer than his. This I can imagine. All right. We're going to turn now to the message, to thinking about our theme verse for the day. So let's pray. Lord God, I just ask that you would guide my words today. I want to speak things that come from your heart to our heart. So, Lord, open up my mouth, but also open up our hearts that we can hear your truth. In Jesus' name, amen. I wonder if any of you have ever wished that you had a time machine. I wish I had a time machine recently. I was doing some woodwork, and despite the fact that the woodworker's motto is always measure twice, cut once, I measured and I cut, and when I went back to my work with this nicely cut piece of timber that was going to fit just in the slot that it was made for, I'd cut it too short. I wished at that moment that I could go back. You know that feeling? In golf, it's called a mulligan. If you have a really dreadful shot and someone wants to be kind, they say, you can have a do-over. It's called a mulligan. You don't have to count that really bad one. Just do it over. But there are so many situations in life where we wish that we could go back. Have you ever been angry? You've been involved in an argument. You've been saying stuff and something comes out of your mouth and it's halfway out there and you know that you should stop. But it just keeps rolling out, and then you think about what you've said and you say, I wish I could take that back. Because you can see the hurt on somebody else's face. But you can't. You wish you had that time machine. You wish you could rewind back. You wish you could take it back. But you can't. I reckon everyone in the world's felt like that at some stage or another. Do you reckon Julie Gillard felt a bit like that this last week? Do you reckon Lance Armstrong wished that he had a time machine to be able to go back and do a redo over some of the things that he said and done in his life? But unfortunately, once we say something, once we do something, it's set in concrete. Particularly in true in relationships. When we stuff up in a relationship, it's like there's a little written record that people hold in their heart. Know what I mean? 3rd of March 2013, we had that argument about finances. And I said that thing and the other person's got a record of that. I forgot our wedding anniversary in 2001. It's still remembered. We did this, we did that, and our partner, the person that we're in a relationship with, has a little record. And when you slip up again, you just keep adding to that record. And the record doesn't get littler, it gets bigger. It's one thing on top of another thing on top of another thing. Your partner, your child, your friend, they have a record of wrongs. And you do the exactly same thing, right? You have a little place in your mind, in your memory, where you jot down all of the things that somebody does wrong against you. When you felt hurt or wronged in some way, you keep a little list. And when they do something wrong to you, then you've got that record and you add that and you add up and you tally up all the points that they've got, you've got against them. The record of wrongs. I want to talk to you today about the healing power of forgiveness and begin talking about that by talking about your relationship with God, first of all. Having a relationship with God is just like having any other kind of relationship, because God also has a book and God knows everything you've ever said, done, thought. And it's all there in his book. Because, I say that because God knows us perfectly. The Bible says he knows how many hairs are on our head. So if he can count all that, he knows everything about us. And he's got a record of all your triumphs, all your successes, all the good things that you've done. You gave your tax return to charity. You did something nice for your mother-in-law and painted her kitchen when she wanted it done. You've Whatever it was, he's got a record of all of that. But he's also got a record of all the bad things as well. So when you cheated on your tax return, nobody else knew about that, but God knew. When you fell into temptation, when you lusted after someone, God knows about that. If you thought evil of someone, if you acted selfishly, if you spoke those hurtful words and harmed someone's spirit, God knows about that. Imagine there's this book, and there's all of the things that you've ever thought, said, and done, and God knows every one of them. Are there some pages in there that you would not like God to open up to? I know that's true for me. Now here's the thing, every one of those evil things that's there in that book are not only marring the relationship between you and the person that it happened to, but the Bible tells us also mars our relationship with God. You see, God is our maker, our creator, and every time we harm one of his creatures, one of our fellow human beings, we also mar him. And so in our relationship with God, there's this record of wrongs that stands between us and him in exactly the same way as that record of wrongs stands between us and other people. I need to change something that I've been saying, though. I just said that the record of wrongs stands between you and God. But in fact, God has done something about that. God has done something to set that right. He has taken away everything that stands between us and him, and he's done away with that. And the reason I know that is because it's there on your theme verse today. Pick up that piece of paper again and take a look at that verse. It says that he forgave you all your sins, and he took away the record of wrongs. He took it away. He dealt with it. And he did that by nailing it to the cross. Here's this book again. The record of all the things I've said and done and thought. That scripture says that that record of wrongs, God took it to the cross and he nailed it there to the cross with Christ. And he did away with it. Once and for all. All my pride, all my bitterness, all the angry, hurtful things that I've done, all the selfishness, all the prejudice, God took all that and nailed it to the cross with Jesus. And God dealt with it there by taking all the pain of that stuff upon himself. And then he forgave us. To forgive means to let it go. To wipe the slate clean totally and to start again. He didn't keep a record of our wrongs. And instead of that, he actually wrote a new book. And he simply kept in that record a record of everything good that Jesus had done. So he wrote down about Jesus' service, about Jesus' love, about Jesus' compassion, about Jesus' humility. And the only record that remains that God looks at when he thinks of us is he chooses to look instead at the record of Jesus. I started off by saying, wow, I wish I had a time machine, but you know what? I don't need a time machine to deal with the record of wrongs in my life. I don't need to do a do-over because God has dealt with all of that. I only need Jesus. Because God says that forgiveness and setting things right is as simple as trusting in Jesus. As simple as asking God, please God, put aside all of those things. I know that you dealt with them on the cross and I trust you for that. Please put them aside in my life and don't ever hold them against me because you dealt with them on the cross. I want to invite you to do that today. Maybe it's for the first time in your life to ask God to deal with the record of wrongs. Or maybe that's something that you know already, and you can do this again as a symbol of your continuing faith in Jesus. But I invite you to take hold of that card. It's got your thumbprint on it. The thumbprint is unique to you. There's no one in the whole world that has a thumbprint just like that. It identifies you. And you place that thumbprint in the center of the crown of thorns that Jesus wore on the cross, identifying yourself with his action on the cross. And God's promise to you is that he will take that record of wrongs in your life and he will nail it to the cross with Christ. If you would like to receive that gift of forgiveness, I invite you to take your little card and just to place it in one of these bags. Just pass it around to those. I invite you to think about that, to do that prayerfully. Symbolically now, attach these cards to the cross as a reminder of the truth that's spoken about in the scripture, that God did exactly this, took the record of our wrongs and took it to the cross with Christ, opening the door of forgiveness and grace to all who will believe and trust in Jesus for their salvation. I'd like to invite you to just meditate on that for a moment. We're going to play a presentation on the screen. It includes a focus on the cross, and a number of you sent in photographs of crosses that you had seen or taken photographs of, or maybe they're from your home or something that you wear around your neck. It's very good that these are personal, because the cross is a personal story. It's about Jesus and me. Jesus and you.
Thanks for listening to this message by Pastor Mike Ford of the Rockingham Mandurah Lutheran Parish. For information about our church and our service times, you can call the office on 9593 9545. God bless you.